You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
An incredible operation. Let me be clear. The evacuation of thousands of people from Kabul is going to be hard and painful, no matter when it started, when we began. It would have been true if we had started a month ago or a month from now. There is no way to evacuate this many people without pain and loss of heartbreaking images you see on television. It's just a fact.
No, it is not a fact. Those are the words of President Biden the other day, and there are new developments you're not going to like what I'm going to tell you. This is August 24, 2021. Pentagon official telling Fox News that the Biden administration has decided it will not extend the August 31 deadline to remove all American troops from Afghanistan. That's because the Taliban drew a red line in the sand and said, August 31, you're out of here. Now, of course, we've seen Obama, when Biden was VP, draw red lines in the sand and then move it back and move it back and move it back. But Biden, apparently, at this point, is just going to accept the Taliban red line. You know what that means? The Taliban says we have to be out of there by August 31 because that's the date that Biden set. That means something like 6,000 U.S. troops, dozens of armored vehicles, U.S. Army Apache gunships had all been sent in now to help evacuate Americans, have to be out by midnight, August 31. What about the Americans left behind? Now, you just heard Biden say, well, it's never going to be easy. I mean, we could start doing it months ago. It wouldn't be easy. It would have been a hell of a lot easier if you'd done it months ago. You actually planned something. It would have been easier if you didn't do it now during the fighting season, if you waited for winter. Yeah, we got a lot to cover all this later. And again, keep in mind, let me stress this, every American currently behind a Taliban line right now is a hostage. Whether or not they're actually in the hands of the Taliban, they are a hostage. Now, what do you think is going to happen to them after we pull out? Do we have special forces units going in like we've seen the British and even the French do? I'm sure we do. I hope to hell we do. And if they've had success, they don't want to report it right now, obviously. I'll respect that. But I'm also afraid that perhaps who's going to get to these hostages first, Taliban or us. And in fact, you want a hell of a good response for what we should be doing right now? Congressman Dan Crenshaw, who served in Afghanistan, Republican of Texas, said with the Taliban demanding we be out by August, he said the only proper response from America to these dirty, savage terrorists should be, go F yourself. We'll be joined by Thomas Spohr, heritage expert on U.S. national defense. Biden's five mistruths about Afghanistan. That's a polite way of saying screw-ups or lies. Maybe he chose that way because he is a Webster University graduate. We're also reminded by Senator Mitch McConnell, Biden administration could screw up a two-car funeral, and we're watching it. The FDA approval of Pfizer yesterday, here's your hammer, use it. First thing Biden did, he did.
Today I'm calling on more country, more companies, I should say, in the private sector to step up with vaccine requirements that'll reach millions more people. If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, state or local leader who has been waiting for full FDA approval to require vaccinations, I call on you now to do that. Require it. Do what I did last month. Require your employees to get vaccinated or face strict requirements.
Such as being sent to Taliban territory. Oh, yeah. Former CIA Director Michael Hayden says anyone who's unvaccinated should be going to Afghanistan. That's a former CIA director. You think we don't have some problems somewhere up and down our intel line? And Dr. Fake, his latest prediction on how long before we're going to have control of COVID, he gives you some date, some estimate. But wait a minute. There's another shoe to drop. We'll have that story for you. Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, is out. He's no longer governor as of midnight last night. But he didn't leave without firing a parting shot. Oh, you know, he wanted to make sure he was heard. CNN, you think they could have two Cuomos going forward? Also, a horrific story of what Taliban is doing while American citizens are still hostage behind Taliban lines. It is a horrific story, but you need to hear it. We've got a lot to cover the next 2 hours. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road, a pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. And I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream, feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniel's Old Number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
If we can get through this winter and get really the majority, overwhelming majority of the 90 million people who have not been vaccinated, I hope we could start to get some good control in the spring of 2022.
Well, those are the words of Dr. Fake, Dr. Fauci, as he probably prefers to be referred to, as he appeared with Anderson Cottonmouth on CNN, talking about, oh, we should have control of this by spring of 2022. That's what he's predicting. And, of course, yesterday, with the FDA approving the Pfizer drug for those 16 and older, you automatically have, as I said in the beginning in our monologue, there's your hammer, now they're going to use it. And they are. That's why Biden rushed out to tell everyone, you should do what I've already done. Demand that your employees get vaccines or face restrictions. Yeah, they're going to begin pushing this more and more. Now, when Dr. Fake says we should have control of it by spring of 2022, by that he means we will have control, and we might still have it. Of course, we may have this forever. And there's a point that we really should take a closer look and examine. We know, of course, and we've heard repeatedly that all of these efforts may still fall short when it's all done. Remember, flatten the curve? Forget to flatten the curve. We got to do more than that. I'm looking at a piece from the City Journal publication by John Tierney. John Tierney is a contributing editor of City Journal, also a contributing science columnist for the New York Times. And it begins this way. Throughout the pandemic, American political and public health leaders have been following Ron Emanuel's classic dictum for power-seeking officials. You never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And then he writes, now they've adopted a corollary. You never want a crisis to end. So they are prolonging the national misery instead of easing it, which could be done with a few simple strategies. Explain to the public that the virus will never disappear, but is no longer a mortal threat to the vast majority of Americans. Encourage the minority still at risk to get vaccinated by honestly discussing who is in jeopardy and what scientists have learned about infections. Promote treatments proven to prevent infection and speed recovery while avoiding unproven treatments and mandates that cause collateral damage and generate mistrust. Above all, make it clear to Americans that we finally have reason to celebrate. What once seemed an unprecedented danger is now just one of many pathogens that we know how to live with. Boy, he nailed it, did he not? So when Fauci predicts we should have control by spring of 2022, well, Cooper, or Cottonmouth, as I prefer, asked him, well, what do you mean by control?
If we could do that with the people who have been infected, get them revaccinated, the people who are unvaccinated now, that 90 million people, get them vaccinated, I think we can get a degree of overall blanket protection of the community that as we get into the early part of 2022, getting through the winter, which could be complicated by influenza, by respiratory syncytial virus, that as we get into the spring, we could start getting back to a degree of normality, namely reassuming the things that we were hoping we could do. Restaurants, theaters, that kind of thing.
Well, now, is that still going to be that you have to present a COVID documentation? When you say get back to normal, does that mean we can forget about having to present documents to prove that we've been vaccinated? I want to remind you again, in New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio, who is married to a black woman, so you can't say he's racist, but then again, let's wait, figure this one out. Mayor Bill de Blasio ordered you can only dine at indoor restaurants in New York City if you present two things. You must present evidence, a documentation card, a vax card that you got when you got your vaccine, and you also have to have a picture ID to prove it's you who has that card in your possession. About 70%. At last report, 70% of black New Yorkers between the age of 18 and 45 have not had the vaccine. They either don't trust the government, they decided they just don't want it, or they're not, you know, like other people, I don't need it, I'm just not going to bother with it. But they are now denied service in restaurants. Does that not smack and sound of the South and the Jim Crow laws that keep getting thrown in our face when it comes to voter ID and protection of the vote? The hell, it certainly does, Larry. I'm glad you asked that question. That's exactly what it does. You can't come in here because, what, because I'm black? Oh, no, because you don't have a vax card. Well, I got a vax card. Well, let's see your picture ID. Well, I don't have a picture ID. You can't come in here. Where are the Sharptons and all those yelling out? Oh, I should correct this. Sharpton, I understand, did come down with COVID. Or maybe it's Jesse Jackson. I don't remember. One of the two. They're apparently going to be okay. I don't wish ill on anyone like that. But I don't see all of the leftists and progressives. I don't see AOC and the rest of them out there saying, that's not right. No, they want you masked up. They want you controlled. So when Fauci was asked what is control, he gives you that answer. Well, when we reach a certain percentage, da da da, blah 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 blah. But, don't rush into judgment, folks. Don't think that once we get to whatever he considers would be adequate, and we could resume normalcy. And they want to look at what we're in right now. That's maybe as normal as you're going to get. But don't think they're going to yield it that quickly. Don't think that there isn't something else, another fear coming. This will keep you awake at night.
This is a very wily virus. We thought we were going to have that degree of freedom as we got into the 4th of July and the summer. And then along comes a soccer punch with the Delta variant, which is extraordinary in its capability of spreading from person to person. So we hope we'll be there at the time frame that I mentioned correctly being the spring of 2022, but there's no guarantee because it's up to us. If we keep lingering without getting those people vaccinated that should be vaccinated, this thing could linger on, leading to the development of another variant which could complicate things. So it's within our power to get this under control.
And what percentage?
And that is to get vaccinated.
And Cottonmouth was trying to ask, well, what percentage of Americans being vaccinated would be adequate? I didn't let you hear the answer. I should have. Let me give it to you. Here's the answer. Dr. Fake said, we don't know. We don't know. I mean, we've never had this before. We don't know. We don't know if we need 80, 85%. We just don't know. In other words, back to that City Journal article written by John Tierney and his quote, as the public health leaders are following Ron Emanuel's, as he said, classic dictum for power-seeking officials, you never want a serious crisis to go to waste, and now you never want a crisis to end. So come 2022 for the midterm elections, oh my God, are we going to go through absentee balloting again? But I'm sure there'll be no fraud. No, there'll be no fraud. Do you know that they stopped a car suspected in a crime? I want to say it's in California. And inside the car, in addition to drugs and guns, they found hundreds of absentee ballots. I guess they just were driving, waiting for a chance to use them. I have no idea. And Dr. Fake said, I respect Americans' freedoms. But the current public health crisis has convinced him enough is enough. And now with the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine being approved by the FDA, there may well be a lot more people moving forward and saying, okay, I'm going to get it. I did not want to take it because it was still considered experimental. And I will be willing to go ahead and get there may be people make their own mind up. And I think you should be allowed to make your decision. But I was talking to somebody last night. His wife got a call from the hospital and said, you're going to have to now have a vaccination. And she was not planning on doing it. Said, you're going to have it. And she said, what about religious grounds? She said, well, you're going to need something from your pastor to prove it. So they're going to get it. And then others will say, well, I have health reasons. So if your doctor gives you an excuse, then you won't be able to. Otherwise, they might find. And the thing about this woman, she works from home for the health company she's with. She doesn't even go in. And then this thing about pushing them on kids and schools and so forth. I've got another piece. This is Martin Kulldorff. And I believe I cannot find the actual source. I think I cut it off a little early. I'm sorry about that. I'd always try to do that. But he and another professor of medicine at Stanford University wrote a piece and talking about the idea that everyone must be vaccinated against COVID-19 is as misguided as the anti-vax idea that no one should. While anyone can get infected, the old have a 1,000-fold higher mortality risk than the young. But there's intense pressure on young adults and children to be vaccinated. Universities, Columbia, Cornell, Harvard, Stanford now requiring students to get if they're going to attend college. So for young adults and children, their mortality risk is extremely low, and yet they're going to use that again as a hammer against them, right? That's right, because that's what Biden said the other day.
Today I'm calling on more country, more companies, I should say, in the private sector to step up with vaccine requirements that'll reach millions more people. If you're a business leader, a nonprofit leader, a state or local leader who has been waiting for full FDA approval to require vaccinations, I call on you now to do that. Require it. Do what I did last month. Require your employees to get vaccinated or face strict requirements.
Nationally syndicated and Nashville-based conservative radio talk show host Phil Valentine on his program was always anti-vax. And then he came down with COVID. And in the hospital, he admitted, yeah, I should have gotten the vax. I shouldn't have told other people not to do it. He died over the weekend. And I'm sure there are many out there saying, good, pay, serves you right. And then you got a retired four-star Air Force General, Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA, says every MAGA-wearing unvaxxed person should be sent to Afghanistan. Oh, well, here's a piece of good news, maybe. Now they're believing, according to a biomedical company, antibodies taken from llamas, could be used to prevent COVID-19 from spreading. Got a llama? Better get one. Might be mandated you have a llama in your backyard. Coming up, what we are not going to do, apparently, when it comes to the Taliban. Hey, heads up, after today's program, I'm headed directly to St. Charles, one of our sponsors. First Crypto World has its grand opening underway right now, so I'll be up there in St. Charles about 4 o'clock or earlier. First Crypto World, get more details at firstcryptoworld.com, firstcryptoworld.com. See you in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The Taliban should not be allowed to tell us how long we are there to get our personnel out. That's our decision, not theirs. They can cooperate if they want to. If they don't, we need to do what's necessary to get our people out and to get out the loyal translators who are stuck there as well, who worked with us.
Those are the words of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky. However, he made those remarks that the Taliban should not be allowed to tell us when to get out. In other words, we should not bow down to the Taliban. He made those remarks before this news broke, and we're waiting for President Biden to actually come out and speak about it as well. But the report is coming out. The President Biden has decided not to extend the August 31 deadline to remove all U.S. troops from Afghanistan. That means 6,000 troops and their equipment have to be out of Afghanistan by midnight August 31. But the bigger issue is, I thought we weren't going to leave until we got every American out. And I'm telling you, we've been getting conflicting numbers from this administration as to how many are there. And they say, well, we don't really know. That's a lie. They can certainly know. They check passport scans and so forth at the airport as to how many went in. And if they went back out, their passport would be scanned again. They know how many of them. They may not know exactly where they are. And hopefully we do have some special ops teams going in and bringing Americans out. The British have been doing it with their people. The French have been doing it, and in some cases rescuing Americans. But Biden deciding, oh, I'm gonna follow the red line the Taliban put down. Senator McConnell says this is something our allies are watching about how we've handled this and the withdrawal. Just listen.
All of our allies realize that this decision has greatly weakened our efforts in the war on terror. The war on terror could be fought two places, over there or over here. And the strategy since 9/11 has actually worked. We've not had another foreign-inspired terrorist attack in the United States in 20 years. We had finally evolved into a policy that was actually working in Afghanistan as well, with a very light footprint. We were keeping the lid on. The barbarians were not in charge of the government. Of course, it was not a Jeffersonian democracy. That's not why we went there in the first place. This was not about nation building. It was about protecting us here at home from foreign terrorist attacks.
And our allies are watching this, and they're also watching that when Biden said the other day, we will not leave until every American is brought out. You know they're going to lie. They're going to lie and say, we got every American out. I'm telling you right now. Mark my words. August 24, 1:35 this afternoon. They are lying if they say they've got every American out come August 31. You know when you're going to end up seeing those Americans? Probably being held hostage by the Taliban. And they'll look for ways and times and opportunities, and then they may just turn them over to ISIS. They may turn them over to Al-Qaeda. They may arm them with explosives and put them somewhere, and no one can get them free before they go off. It's always great video in their way, and or chop their head off. You don't know. Let me correct that. We have a good idea what they would do. Before I wrap up this hour, I want you to hear, I should say before I wrap up today's program, it's in the second hour, a horrific story of what the Taliban are already doing to Afghans. And now because our administration is going to follow the red line drawn by the Taliban, critics are slamming Biden, saying he's going to have blood on his hands. Congresswoman Hartzler tweeted, this botched withdrawal is stranding Americans in Afghanistan. After August 31, they officially abandoned them. That's disgraceful. More than that. We're going to be joined by Thomas Spohr, Heritage Center for the National Defense, Webster University grad, by the way, on a piece he wrote about Biden's five mistruths on Afghanistan. I'd say five lies. And I want to get his reaction to these latest developments coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
It's a fact that Ackerman Toyota is improving the local community. Jay Ackerman had a vision, and you can see the Ackerman Toyota dealership created a beautiful showplace at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota, sponsoring the next segment, new or pre-owned. Ackerman Toyota, for life.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket man, burning out of fuse out there.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're having trouble at this time establishing communications. Tom Spohr, seems to be some foul up. We're working on it. But he wrote a piece I want to share with you while we're waiting to have him join us. And again, keep in mind, these new developments that just happened. In fact, let me check, see if there's been any update from the White House on what the president is or what's going to do. Everybody wants to know what's going to be the plan now, because Biden is apparently getting ready to speak, obviously fearing that perhaps Americans may be left behind. Well, of course we fear that. So he's going to issue us some kind of statement that will tell us that these Americans will all be out of there by August 31. And yet the other day, they couldn't even tell us for sure how many Americans are there. Are they trying to be vague on purpose, or they don't know? I think they don't know. Or they're trying to say they don't know. They should be able to know. And if Biden is caving to the Taliban demand, you had to be out of here by August 31, or what? James Carafano, also with the Heritage Foundation, wrote a piece for the New York Post the other day. And he said they looked back at what happened in 1979. Remember when our U.S. embassy in Tehran was seized, 60 American hostages, including Rocky Sickman of the St. Louis area, who was a Marine at the time, still is a Marine, of course, but at that time serving in the service. Garofano said that was hell for the captured Americans, and Jimmy Carter's inability to extricate them helped doom him to a one-term presidency. The way things are shaping up in Kabul, that national humiliation is being recreated on a far, far bigger scale. This is starting to look like America's worst hostage crisis, and I fully agree. Biden rushing to get the troops out. He suddenly decided, I want everybody out, and we'll be out by August 31. He's the one apparently set that date. Now the Taliban said, all right, you're going to abide by it. And now they're saying, we're not going to extend it. We're not going to extend it. So we're waiting for Biden to come out and tell us that, well, we're still going to get everyone out before we leave. I told you earlier what Congressman Dan Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, said. Our response to the Taliban's demands that we leave is, go F yourself. So the Biden administration, I guess, is just going to pick up and run. White House still insisting Americans are not stranded, and yet they've been, despite numerous firsthand accounts. There's an American mother that's made urgent pleas to Biden from Afghanistan, saying, we're stranded, please help us. Are we seeing anything like that happen? Now, again, I pray and hope that we have special ops teams on the ground doing a very dangerous job, be they Marine MARSOP or they be SEALs or Green Berets. But either way, they're trying to get to some Americans if we know where they are. But if the Biden administration is going to simply pull out, let me go back to this piece written by Thomas Spohr. And again, he is the director of the Heritage Center for National Defense. He is a Webster Groves graduate. I want to point that out for you as well. And he wrote his piece, and it was titled The Five. Let me get the exact title, because I've already butchered it in the sense of rewritten it myself. Biden's Five Mistruths on Afghanistan. I say five lies, or that's the easiest way to say. But the five statements he's pointing out is that Biden said, we've developed counterterrorism over the horizon capability that will allow us to keep our eyes fixed on any direct threats to the U.S. in that region and act quickly. He says that was just crafted to allay any fears that once we're out, we won't be able to influence events in Afghanistan. He said it's incorrect. He said the Taliban now in complete control. We have less knowledge of what's going on there than we were pre-9/11. I agree with him. He also points out another one that Biden said. There's a cold reality of either following through on the agreement to withdraw our forces or escalating the conflict, sending thousands more American troops back into combat. Just not going to do it. And Thomas Spohr said Biden was trying to paint his choices as binary. Either we withdraw or we send thousands more. So that's not necessary either. There's a third option, which is already working. We had a limited amount. We began to pull out, but we're keeping some intel and availability there. Now, Trump also wanted all boots off the ground. I am in favor of that. I don't want anyone in danger if we can get them out, but that's also that if you're going to leave the Afghan army there, you've got to be giving them air support. When we pulled out of Bagram Air Force Base in the dead of night and the Afghan commander comes in and realizes we're gone, of course the word gets out. We have no air support. We can't fight the Taliban anymore. He also, Spohr quoting Biden, is saying, I know there are concerns about why we did not begin evacuating Afghans sooner. Part of the answer is some of the Afghans did not want to leave earlier. There might have been some that had that view. But in July, we had visa applications of 18,000 Afghan translators and others wanting to leave. 18,000. And we made no effort to start getting them out. And you want to know how desperate they were to get out? Those were the ones clinging to the outside of a C-17, falling from the plane as it took off. I hope that image is impressed in the mind of every progressive who thinks this country is racist and nasty and it's the worst thing ever and it needs to be transformed radically. I hope to hell you remember those pictures of those people desperately, so desperate that they're hanging on the outside of a jet to try to get out of their country. Then another one. Spohr says Biden said the truth is this did unfold more quickly than we anticipated. Spohr says maybe that rapid advance did surprise the White House, who wanted to believe otherwise. But everyone in the community, Pentagon intel, knew they were capable of it, and especially if you withdraw the air support. And Biden also said American troops cannot, should not be fighting a war, dying in a war. Afghan forces are not willing to fight for themselves. We're on to order American troops step up when their forces won't. Well, on one hand, I would agree with that. But the problem is, Thomas Spohr with the National Heritage Foundation, his piece wrote, that's one of the most galling. He said the Afghan army has been fighting, taking casualties in a war that would make even the hardest, most hardened warrior blink. He said casualties among the Afghan army estimated to be 69,000, more than we suffered in Vietnam. He said the Afghan army did not stop fighting until it realized it had been abandoned, the very point I was making a moment ago. He said its logistics and air support stopped when America pulled out of Bagram. Then Spohr adds this, and I think this goes direct to you and your thoughts as well. Americans have eyes. They could see the events as they unfold in real time on TV. They intuitively can tell when they are not getting the full story. This week, a profound sadness has gripped the nation as we watched America abandon a country and the people that stood next to the U.S. during tough times. When faced with a disaster like we saw this week, Americans don't want excuses, finger-pointing, or half-truths. For shame. I regret we didn't get Thomas Spohr on to discuss that in detail, but that's pretty much the take of his article. And I think he nailed it. He and Carafano talking about that the way things are shaping up, we're going to have the biggest hostage crisis ever. I'm still waiting. I'm watching. What's the plan? What's the plan from Biden? Are you going to come out? You're going to tell us you got a plan that's really going to guarantee every American's out? You know what the Biden administration did do? They froze $7 billion in Afghan reserves, so that limits Taliban cash access. But they'll get it from elsewhere. It's right there in their country. You watch the opium and the heroin market explode because they make money off of that really quickly. And here's Kamala Harris saying the Afghan decision by Biden is courageous. Courageous. Of course, she's nowhere to be seen after she rushed off to Singapore to do her little trip. Oh, by the way, her plane from Singapore got delayed over a possible case of a mysterious illness. They're calling it the Havana Syndrome. About 130 suspected have had it, and they had to delay her plane for 3 hours to make sure that no one on board had it. I don't wish ill health on the VP. But we're still waiting to see when Biden is going to come out and what he's going to say. I remind you again that over the weekend, a couple weekends ago, when Biden had gone to Camp David and already Taliban was sweeping across Afghanistan, and he did not even show up on camera one time. I told you then, I'm almost sure he's being medicated. They don't dare put him in front of the camera at that point. Well, now they got to get him up, prop him up, go out there and explain to us why you're pulling out and that you guarantee every American will come out safely. He can't make that guarantee. When we come back, Andrew Cuomo is out, but not without firing a final shot.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
My personal choice for Italian food, Cafe Napoli. Now, sometimes I want steak, fish. Hey, try the sea bass. Perfect. Plus a worldwide selection of wines. Cafe Napoli's mission is to serve you only the best. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now, the streets of St. Charles, Cafe Napoli.
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Governor Cuomo used his final address on his last day in office to take another swipe at the state attorney general's investigation, which concluded Governor Cuomo sexually harassed 11 women. The governor denies the allegations in the report that triggered his resignation.
The attorney general's report was designed to be a political firecracker on an explosive topic, and it worked.
And it worked. There was Cuomo. All right, I'm out. But it was just the attorney general report. She was designing a firecracker, an explosive device, and it worked. Bah, bah, oh, so sad. Cuomo is out. But he leaves before he gets impeached, so he can run for office again. But he will no longer be able to point to his Emmy and say, I won an Emmy for the way I covered the COVID story. And, of course, claiming that book he wrote during the midst of the COVID in October. In October, he wrote that book and saying, oh, how to handle a crisis. And at that time, we had people dying in nursing homes under his order in March that a nursing home had to accept COVID patients. And if they had them, they had to keep them. But he did get an Emmy, remember that? Now, let me reset the stage again for you. Cuomo is out because the Attorney General, Letitia James, did an investigation and found that Cuomo, according to her investigation, had sexually harassed multiple women. That report was released August 3rd. Well, Cuomo denied it, fought it, but then there were universal calls for him, which he then announced on August 10 with a two-week transition. So early this morning, after midnight, basically, of this date, New York Lieutenant Governor Hochul took office. She said, I'm going to have all female staff members. Well, I guess that's to say, see, there'll be no sexual harassment. That doesn't rule that out, but I'm just saying. So Cuomo had served as New York's governor since 2010, reelected in 2014, and again in 2018. Now he's out. And that Emmy that he got, the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences gave him that honorary Emmy. In their statement, they had said that he did such a great job. The governor's 111 daily briefings worked so well because he effectively created television shows with characters, plot lines, and stories of success and failure. People around the world tuned in to find out just what was going on, and New York Tough became a symbol of the determination to fight back. Oh, and they had a lot of Hollywood elites all endorsing him, saying, oh, how great he got it. We're so honored. They did all kinds of video remarks to go with him as he received his honor, his Emmy. And many of them were, like Chelsea Handler, were saying, I'm Cuomo-sexual. I just love the man. I'd love to be with him. Can't miss him when he does these briefings. Well, the word coming out now, the International Academy of Television Arts and Sciences is taking it back. Quote, in light of the New York Attorney General's report and Andrew Cuomo's subsequent resignation as governor, the International Academy is rescinding its special 2020 International Emmy Award. His name and any reference to his receiving the award will be eliminated from International Academy materials going forward. Boy, they're going to disappear him. He's going to sleep with the fishes. So what's he going to do? What could Cuomo do? Let me see. He's going to continue getting a pension, by the way. Something like $50,000+ a year. Let me see. What could he? Do you think he's either been talking to some of the networks that need a high-profile, good-looking stud to be another analyst? And his brother Chris is already with CNN, and you think they'd do two Cuomos, no waiting, something like that? Or would they put him somewhere else? Or would they just kind of play him around in different positions as a utility analyst for whatever they wanted? But only if he gets a fat check. Which, by the way, that might be why CNN did not take Rachel Maddow from MSNBC. It's still an all-guys network at CNNN, although they would tell you, oh, we're all about inclusiveness. What could Cuomo do? My question is, what could he do that he can't hurt anyone else? And right now, no longer being governor, that's a start. When we continue on the next hour, Biden apparently ready to do exactly what the Taliban said. We're going to pull everybody out by August 31, but we want to assure the Americans, all Americans will be out of there. It's going to be a lie, but we're going to expose it and get into more detail of that part of the story when we continue on the other side of news and commentary.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.